chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Closing hymn?
No, I'll do my sermon before closing him. Thank you, Todd. you may be seated before you run for the door. You try to send everybody home early, aren't you? You may be seated. I see. We still need to talk some more. I thought we had everything talked about before church. Wow. You guys almost had a pass to get out Dodge. Now, you see the sermon title there is No Substitutes. So we're not substituting the sermon either today. And as we think about the new year, the celebration of the new year shouldn't trump or substitute the celebration of Christmas Day, should it? Absolutely not. Never ever should the new year celebration trump the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I share those Isaiah verses with you once again for who our Lord and Savior is, in case you forgot just 7 or 8 days ago when we had Christmas Eve and last Sunday morning. You know, the new year begins and we are challenged by the new year, some of us more than others. I was asked earlier, did you make any New Year's resolutions or make any plans? And nothing. I did not make anything direct or in hard, fast, or stone, but I have some things in the back of my mind of what I want to work on. And I encourage you that, as Greg mentioned, there's nothing better for us to do than spend some extra time in the Word of God, reading the Holy Bible. And I invite you and I encourage you that you'd find some extra time in these days that may be a little too chilly or cold to be outside. And I know it's a challenge. If you can't set the phone down or the iPod or the Kindle, pull up that Bible app. Read some scripture there. Get in God's Word or sign up for that daily Bible verse to be emailed to you through any of those apps to get God's Word into you and into your life. And that's so important. And the world's not going to encourage that. The world does not want you to do that. Satan, God's enemy, your enemy, does not want you to be feasting or filling up on his word. And you know, the media doesn't either. The media would want you to go into this year and begin this new year with the attitude and in the mindset, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. You know that children's book, The Sky is Falling? That's what the attitude our enemy wants us to have as we enter into the new year. But long story short, church, what do we have? We have Jesus. We just came through this season where we talked about hope, love, joy, and peace. And that's what we have through Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I encourage you once again, as I encourage you to stay and get into God's Word more, do not allow yourself to make decisions without checking the truth, without some prayer, without some counsel and guidance of thy Holy Spirit from our Lord. Do not allow yourself blindly follow the media or blindly follow any one person of this earth. The Lord is who we follow. The Lord has laid out His love letter to give us light for the path that He wants us to travel. So get into the Word and allow that light to light your way into this world where we don't know what tomorrow holds, when there is darkness, when it seems that things continue to get worse. But they're not. They're just as bad as they've always been. They're going to continue to be as bad as it always has been, because we're talking about people. We're talking about people like you and I and everybody else that's ever been born and lived, and those that will continue to be born and live. We are human beings with a sinful nature. As we think about this new year, do you get stressed? Do you get stressed over being organized? Or do you get stressed over being unorganized? Do you stress over trying to get more organized? Make sure that everything's just in its place. Properly this, this and this. Prim and proper. You ever hear that when you was growing up? Prim and proper. Everything has to be in its place because everything has its place. You need to look so neat and tidy. And we think we have to do that when we walk in the doors of the church, don't we? And some of us have been walking in the door so long, we have it down so pat, and we have it down where it's natural. It's just normal to look neat and tidy when things aren't that neat and tidy, if the truth be told. You know, and we like things to be neat and tidy. I live in a household where with a wife that likes things neat and tidy, and I don't know what that is within her, but just even yesterday, January 1st, I don't know what time of morning it was, sometime around 8 o'clock. No, it was probably before 8 o'clock. You know, I know I got to go out and take care of some animals, and of course the dogs want that out, and I'm the only one that can let the dogs out. All the kids can get out of bed, but they walk right past the dog, but the dogs won't go outside unless I get up to open the door. But before I even get up to go let the dogs out, I get this message. Wonderful wife of 25 years right here beside me say, "We got to clean this room up. We got to straighten this room, this bedroom up and organize it. Well, this place is a mess." I'm thinking, how does one wake up in the morning with that first message to your husband? How and why do we have to have that be the first message? But I will tell you, before that message came, I did say Happy New Year. I did say that, didn't I? See, you don't remember. You was jumping into cleaning that bedroom. And I know how to also cause a little, have some fun as well. You know, just go around the house with these little poppers, and you know, just boom. Make a little mess here, and come over here, and make a little mess. And you just try to make sure, if we're going to clean something up, we're going to have something to clean up. Now watch out, the janitors are going to probably come running up, because they're on that same mindset. Oh, piece of dirt, they're on hot pursuit, you know. But it's okay. Things got to be clean. Let's think about God for a moment. We can laugh about these things because we can relate to Him, but can we relate to God? Think about God for a moment. Do you think God is organized? How organized is God? What's the Bible tell us? What did Jesus talk about? How did the apostles and disciples preach? Yes, God is organized. God has this eternal plan. So you better believe that God is organized and His plan is the master plan. And we don't always understand the master plan or fully grasp God's plan. But do we trust an organized God with our lives, with our families, with the church? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in an organized way? We read there in Isaiah 9, only two verses, but they give us a boatload of information. A child is born into humanity, but this child is also wonderful, and he's a counselor, he's a mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This child is the true prince, the one who has the right to reign over all, the one who will usher in complete divine peace on this earth. Yes, these are the names of Jesus' deity. He is divine, but also human. He is God that became man. The Lord Jesus will rule in the believer's heart. This Jesus will establish the kingdom of God. This kingdom. This will be a kingdom of peace. And salvation is for all people. For anyone who will believe in Christ the King. This is organization at its best. We live in this world. We live in this world. And we cannot substitute. We cannot substitute something or someone else in the position of Savior. The world tries. The world's always been trying since the beginning. But it doesn't work, does it? The world and here in America, we are looking hard for a Savior. We are looking for a Messiah. We are looking for one to come forth and one to lead this country out of its woes and financial struggles and the whole nine yards. You know the list and you know it well. But people, we won't find anyone. We've already been given Jesus. We've been given Jesus. And Jesus has given His life for you and for me. And the time is coming. He's going to return. He will be back. And in being organized, just look around yourself. So many things in the world, they do organize themselves in a worldly way. Think about these things. What is art? Art is organized beauty. What is music? Music is organized sound. What is philosophy? It is organized thought. What is science? It is organized knowledge. What is government? Government is just an organized society. And you might say that loosely, depending on how you want to determine that. The life of the church. The life of the church is the very life of Christ that came to earth. Christ that came to be Lord and Savior. And it is through our Lord and Savior. And we already proclaimed our mystery, the mystery of our faith, right? The mystery of our faith. We have faith, but yet there's still a mystery part of it. That it takes faith to fully grasp. That Christ has died. And Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. So we have faith, but yet there's a mystery about it. Without the birth of Christ, there would be no cross. Without the cross, there would only be eternal spiritual death. But praise God that that isn't so. Amen. Praise God. Give thanks. Thank you, Jesus. And then we read in Titus, we read today, we found out why there is no substitute for Jesus, why there never will be a substitute for Jesus Christ. As it said there in verse 11, for the grace of God, no one else, the God that is organized, the God that is complete in love with you, that for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And then the promise of the second coming there in verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. While we wait, while we work, while we live in this stinking, unorganized world, we must resist the temptation of this world. We must live godly lives and look and have our eyes open for that return of Christ. God not only redeems us, He doesn't just save us for the moment or for the day. He saves us as an eternal plan for eternity. A saving that we need, or we'd be on our way to hell. We'd be in hell so fast after our heart stopped that last beat and that last breath of air leaves our lungs, there's only one place we'd be without Christ as our Lord and Savior, and it'd be without God. It'd be without that grace. It'd be without love. It'd be without mercy. And anything without all that that God offers, all that Jesus brings, that will be hell. In the meantime, God wants us not to be running around like the sky is falling, not worried, hand-wringing about the unknown of tomorrow. God wants us to go and produce. Go and be a disciple. To be a producing fruit church. A church that glorifies God, who He is and what He's done through Christ our Lord and Savior. That's what the new year should be about. That's what the new you should be about. God first. Saying, Lord, help me get all these other things in line. Help me get my eating habits turned. Help me get it out to that exercise bike or whatever. Help me resist the sweets or whatever other things that have a hold on you or hold on me. Say, Lord, I want to be new and completely new in you this year. There's an author, his name's Lloyd Douglas. One of the novels he wrote was titled The Robe. And in it he wrote about the time he was in college. This time that he was in college, he's going to college, he lived upstairs in an apartment. Downstairs lived a retired music teacher. And every morning Doug would go downstairs and open the old man's door, and I assume he must have been renting the apartment from this guy. I would guess he'd be the landlord probably. He'd open the old man's door and ask, well, what's the good news today? The old music teacher would pick up his tuning fork. Got a picture of one of those for you if you've never really seen one before. Mike's going to pull that picture up for us. But the old man would pick up his tuning fork, tap it on the side of his wheelchair, and you know what he would say? He'd say, that is middle C. It is middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C. End quote. You know, the old music teacher had discovered one thing upon which he could depend on in this ever-changing world and even in his changing life. Remember, he's a retired music teacher. That is tuning fork, this middle C, always will be middle C. Something that he could hold, that's something that was tangible, that did not change. What are you holding that does not change? Are you holding on to Christ, your Lord and Savior? Are you clinging to God's Word? Because for Christians, the one still point in a turning, changing world, the one absolute of which there is no shadow of a turning doubt, is Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no substitute. There is no substitute for the Savior born that we celebrate on Christmas morning. And there never will be a substitute for Him. I'm sure you've probably heard this story before, and it ties in. We've got the tuning fork. Mike's going to pull up another picture of the regular fork, the fork that we know well. That's what we cling to, isn't it? That's what we cling to. And you know, the story about the elderly woman with terminal illness and sickness called her pastor to come to meet with her, and she wanted to make her funeral plans and talk to her pastor about her final days in preparation for her funeral. And they shared the songs and scripture reading. And as they was finishing up, she said, "One last thing, Pastor. I want to be buried with my fork in my hand. And I got a fork up here." You know, so, you know, we know what the fork is. And she wants to be buried with it in her hand. You know, and the pastor is wondering why, what's the fork about? And she's like, "At all our potlucks and all our family meals and all the church dinners, what comes last? The dessert, the best for last." And she's like, "I want my fork because the best is last." And that's kind of in a story that pastor's just touched and moved by it. You know, and he talks about it in his funeral service for the lady. And this is my own spin. I want to add to it. For me, I want my fork with the cinnamon roll on mine. That's for the road. You know, the journey from here to there. I want to make sure I have my cinnamon roll. So, family, no cinnamon roll. No. Back to that eating better thing. Church, what are we going to hold on to? What are we going to grasp? I just remind you, there's no substitute for Jesus. No substitute. Let us pray. Oh, glorious God of every nation and of all people, from the very beginning of creation, You have made and You have allowed and You have poured out Your love. When our need for a Savior was so great, You sent Your Son to be born in the Virgin Mary. You know our lives, and we know what Jesus brings, how He brought the joy and peace and love, how through Jesus there is justice and there is mercy and there's forgiveness. Father God, we thank You. Help us continue to understand that there will never, ever be a substitute for Jesus. So Lord, bless all who look upon Jesus. Bless those who cling to Him. May it remind us, and may we see Jesus in one another, that He'd be first on our minds, first in our hearts, first in our attitude and our actions, just being number one into this new year and forever and ever. Because Jesus, who is God with us and Savior of us all, this Jesus who lives and reigns over, in, and through all, forever and ever. It is in His name that I pray, and I lift up this church, and I lift up all who worship today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The sweetest, most loving name that we will ever know. All glory and honor unto You now and forever. Amen.